this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. Verse 31. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it is already very late. Send the people away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus told them, "Make the people sit down on the ground in groups." So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And he gave them. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Lord, bless that reading of his word to us and give us understanding. A few weeks ago, Teresa introduced a song to us, which was new at that point in time. We'd apparently never sung it before. But I was so taken by the words that I thought, well, I must get into the next time I lead a service. And it's all about the Word of God. And so we're going to sing it now. For the breaking of the dawn, the promise of your Word. I stand on every promise of your Word. Yeah, good. If you're following in your guidebook, we're on somewhere around about page 33, 34. I won't guarantee that I will be able to give you the words that will fill in all the blanks, but if you've got a pencil and paper, you might like to see how you get on. Last week, we began this paraclesis journey. I'm still going to call it paraclesis. I haven't quite caught up with what it should be. Journeying together. And last week we looked at that as a beginning of it. Paraclesis comes from two Greek words. I think we've had this before. Para, to come alongside, to be with. And kleo, to call or to come. So it's to coming alongside other people. And we've introduced this story through the Good Samaritan last week, and today we're looking to explore the actions of coming alongside others in more detail using the story of the feeding of the 5,000 from Mark's Gospel. We all go through hard times. One of the key verses in this series, right, didn't realise it got to me. One of the key verses in this series is the one that I started off the service of with today. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. And the verse that I read came from the Message. Just in case you've forgotten, he comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings others alongside us so that brings others alongside us who are going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. This shows us sort of two actions, that God comes alongside us. Yes, we go through these difficult times, but in them, God comes alongside us. We need to just appreciate that. God doesn't take us away from hard times. He comes alongside us in those hard times. And just think about it. Each one of us has been through difficult times, and just think who came alongside us in those situations. May not have been God in the sense that there was a physical presence of God there, but it was a person, someone with that loving attitude. That person who came along and supported you in those difficulties. And as you look back on those times, do you still remember their kindness? They were there as God's representatives for you in your times of difficulty. But having come alongside us in our difficulties, he brings us alongside other people in their times of difficulty. We become God's representatives for those people in their times of need. Trevor Partridge, in one of his words there, says that this coming alongside is just show up there for someone who is struggling. And so in a sense, we don't have to do anything, rather than just draw alongside them, to walk with them through that situation. And sometimes when we're going through difficulties, we don't want people to chatter to us. We just want someone to come alongside us, put their arm around us and just quietly let them pray for us. Just feel the healing touch of Jesus upon our life, ministered through us drawing alongside someone in difficulty. Last week we looked at this question of who cares, and we thought about establishing a core value of care. But we needed to move that core value into a culture within our church. The paraclesis culture in our church. Oh, good. Glad you can read it on there, because I can't read it over there. So what's the purpose of coming to church? What's the purpose of coming to church? Worship God, yeah. To hear a sermon? Maybe. To sing? Yes. To give tithes and offerings? To socialize? Yes, they're all part of a Sunday worship, or Sunday gathering. It's an opportunity to meet with God and to be meaningful, have meaningful conversations alongside other people in the church. The church is called to be this caring community. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing this. Instead, let us encourage," courage we saw last week, "one another with words of hope. Let us do this even more as we see Christ returning, approaching." You see, it appears from that reading that some people were in the habit of giving up meeting together. They'd withdrawn. They'd walked away, rejected, and forsaken the church. Perhaps coming too focused on their own plans and projects and things that they wanted to do. They were neglecting the people. We must avoid doing. The writer is saying, don't stop gathering together, but get into the habit of gathering together with God's people. Continue to come together on a regular basis. Not just at service, but come alongside and encourage people in other situations. Help one another. The Greek word in that text for habit is the ethos, which means the custom or the culture. And the writer is encouraging them to join together, to meet together, and to develop this culture of togetherness, this culture of care. Culture is creating an environment in which we intentionally and regularly come alongside others with support and with help. But culture doesn't happen by chance. It is created. When you do something once, it's not a habit. When you do it twice, it's becoming regular. But when you do it every time, it's a habit. And we need to develop a good habit of drawing alongside other people. So how can we begin to grow this culture of care within our church? Paul, writing to the Galatians, said, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are the family of believers. Every church and family creates its culture by design or default. My family have developed a culture of coming to Christine and I for lunch on a Sunday. I don't mind. That's not a criticism of my family. We can always put another spud in the thing if people turn up. Did you pick up one of these this week? Good. You know what mine said? Invite someone for lunch on Sunday. Anyone want to come for lunch? See Christina afterwards. But it's a habit, you know, and it's a good habit because we sit down and we chat and we discuss all sorts of things, some totally irrelevant, some nonsensical, but some quite seriously. And very often in those situations, the truth comes out. The truth comes out. When you get into close conversations with somebody that you're meeting up with regularly, you can open your heart to them. And the truth comes out and you can share together. You can draw alongside people when you are truthful with them. Your culture that we have, not just as individuals, but as a church. A culture in the agricultural sense means the right kind of nutriments and the right kind of soil that will enable something to grow and flourish. Now, Ursula, is she here today? Hello, Ursula and Michelle. What do you put in your plants up at Thompson's Nursery? Lots of special things. Fertilizer. Very good. Little granule cells. There we are. Top tip for you. You see, you don't come to church just to worship God. You come to church to get advice on all sorts of things. But when you actually plant them up, do you just leave them there? No. Look after them every day. And you see, what I'm coming around to in terms of culture, what applies to plants applies to the culture that we develop as a church. We don't just look after someone one day and forget them the next. We have to continually work alongside people day by day by day. But spiritually, we need the nutrients as well. We need that slow release fertilizer of the Word of God. We need to develop the right culture. And we need within the church to develop a culture that creates opportunities that will enable us to grow in that way. A culture of care. Care through small groups. Care through inviting people to our homes, through midweek church groups, meeting at prayer meetings and so on. Gathering together, developing a culture. In your daily guide, there's some tips for the journey together. Don't pick up your cards. Don't forget your cards, kindness cards. But if you pick one up on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever you met, have you acted upon it yet? Not quite sure where I am now. I'm lost a bit. Anyway, so we need to consider how we can come alongside, how we can establish this culture with people. Once we've created opportunities, we need to be intentional about developing them. If we go back to that plant technology, it's not just the right soil and the feed and the regular watering and the pruning and the staking that we needed. We need to just develop that continually. Perhaps at the end of this service, you could turn to someone and say, "How's your week been? Can I pray for you?" We must continue to be encouraged people, as the writer of the Hebrews said. Once we've made the connection with people, we need to continue to build them, rather than restricting them only to the people now and again. Let us regularly encourage people, affirm people, value and support each other. Following these things, we become a community where care is part of our basic culture. Coming alongside other people is a regular situation. Paul, writing to the Galatians, told them, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." You see, God is in the business of coming alongside us. And he has called us to the business of coming alongside others, which is our key verse at the beginning of this service this morning. Coming alongside other people means recognizing their needs and problems. Love doesn't see problems. Love sees needs and reaches out to them. Love is people-focused rather than problem-focused. And we all have deep needs, and our primary need is a sense of acceptance. We want to be accepted. We want to be valued. We want to belong. And in those situations, when you find them in a church, God's church grows. God's plan is that through Christ we become part of his family, a family in which love comes alongside, a culture in which love is expressed primarily. There is a need to receive love and a need to give love. When we receive love, we receive acceptance. An affirmation and value. And that love finds its place in our hearts. Loving as we've been loved. In worship, we express our love for God. But in expressing our love for God, we are receiving God's love into our hearts at the same time. We're receiving it. Why do we take bread and wine? Well, to celebrate the sacrifice, yes, but also receiving the good news of the love of God into our lives. Loving as we've been loved. 1 John 4:19. God does not love us because of what we do, but simply because he has chosen to love us. I don't know about you, but I sometimes worry whether I love God enough. But the point is, that is backward thinking. We won't know how to love God or others until we understand God's love for us. When God's love so fills our hearts and minds and bodies, then we are knowing that we are loved by God. We need to know that God loves us first before the know that we love God. A new commandment I give to you, love one another. The more we realize how much God loves us, the easier it is for us to love other people, especially those who are not being very lovable. After commanding the disciples to one another, love one another, Jesus said this: "This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when you see the love you have for each other." Jesus was saying, don't look at what they're doing or saying. Look at their culture, look at their habits, look at the ethos that exists in this community. Look at who they are when they're together and see if they are authentic and genuine. We need to just look at ourselves. Are we being authentic and genuine? See, love must be at the center of our culture. People coming into our church must need to see love coming alongside. Many people walk away from a church because they do not feel they belong to it or are not accepted for who they are. There is a difference between attending and belonging. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not only about salvation from sin, but about meeting the deep longing needs of the human heart. And through the cross, we're brought into God's family. And these needs can only be fully met through Jesus Christ in the context of the Christian community. Today's story recalls the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark's gospel. It shows how the disciples had an opportunity to come alongside the people who were following Jesus. But on this occasion, they very clearly got it wrong. Such was the impact of Jesus' ministry that when he wanted to go away to a quiet place with his disciples, he got into the boat to go across the lake. The people rushed round the lake to the other side to get there before him. A crowd followed him around the lake. 5,000 men, besides women and children. 15,000, whatever number it was. But when dinner time came, or when evening came, they were hungry. But the disciples were not ready to come alongside them. They hadn't learnt this culture of care. The disciples had a compassion deficit disorder. Compassion feels something and does something. 1 John 3:17 from the Message reads, If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. But the disciples felt nothing for these people, and they did nothing. So they asked Jesus, send them away, send them home. They can go across around the countryside and see what they can get. In contrast to this lack of compassion, Jesus had a caring and compassionate ethos. Jesus looked at the crowd and he saw the multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. He didn't see a hungry crowd. He didn't see a problem people, but sheep without a shepherd. He saw and felt that they had no sense of belonging, little self-value or worth, were cut loose, wandering aimlessly, with no purpose. So what does he do? He accepts them. They're accepted. Acceptance is the core of belonging. Love says you belong as you are, with all your needs, with all your problems. A caring culture provides a safe, acceptable, non-rejecting atmosphere. He validates them. The disciples rejected this crowd. They disapproved of them being there. Jesus acted in a way that told the crowd they were worth his time and care. And valuing people is one of the most compassionate things we can do. And Jesus reached out to them. The disciples were dismissive, seeing them as too much of a burden. But Jesus invited them in and meets their need. Compassion is being moved inwardly to get involved, to care, to come alongside. I'm told that the word compassion has roots in the Greek, and crude meaning of that Greek word is a gut feeling. A gut feeling that you must do something. You know, sometimes deep down you get that feeling. You say, it's in my gut. A gut feeling you want to come alongside someone and ease their pain and their discomfort. Compassion moves us inwardly. 2 Corinthians 5:34 says, Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything we do. That's the Message translation. Whenever you read about Jesus on his journeyings in the gospel, you will see that he was moved with compassion. He came alongside and he engaged with people, and his miracles happened. Whether it was the widow of Nain, the blind man at Jericho, the lepers of Galilee, or Lazarus at Bethany. On these occasions, the Bible does not say that he had compassion. Because we can have compassion and do nothing. Compassion needs to move us to act. And Jesus, in all these cases, was moved with compassion. And the compassion that he had for those people on the hillside were that he provided the food, the loaves and the fishes for them all. It's interesting that in this story, Jesus doesn't let the disciples off the hook. He requires their involvement in the solution to the problem. He wants them to come alongside the people. And he shows us Compassion moves, engages with the needs. Jesus tells the disciples to take care of the people. Jesus accepts the responsibility for others. He refuses to send these people away when he sees a need. You know, sometimes we can choose to pass the buck, or we can accept the responsibility. And responsibility involves involvement. The disciples had excuses, and we might have had them too if we were in their situation. Physically, they had inadequate resources to meet the need of these people. They hadn't got half a year's wages to give away. But Jesus was saying to them, I am the resource. And we place these things in Jesus' hands. Jesus tells the disciples what they had. Often they were quick to talk about, give me, do what you can. And Jesus draws on the resources of Christ. He brings the disciples are the ones who distribute the food. Jesus provided the food. The disciples took it to them. And so the people only saw the disciples coming alongside them with the food, although it was Jesus who had provided it. The miracle bread is placed in the common hands of the disciples to give to the multitude. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. He brings someone else alongside us who's going to help us through our hard times. Jesus reaches out to the point of, at the point of need because they ate and were filled. You may not realize this, but Jesus didn't feed the 5,000. Comes alongside the disciples and places the bread and the fish in their hands. And they go down amongst the groups of the people, the 50s and the hundreds, and they distribute it. And this is what compassion does. This is what paraclesis culture is all about. Demonstrates love coming, this story demonstrates love coming alongside us. In the Gospel, there are six accounts of feeding of multitude. And it just shows us how significant this act was. So whatever your experience, whatever you've got, give it to God. Let him take it in his hands and drop his compassion into your heart. We may long to see the hand of God at work, but together we need to create this culture of coming together, a culture that comes alongside and helps. So we need to build this paraclesis ethos or habit into the heart of the culture of care within our church. Back to the beginning. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who's going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. Let's pray. Well, there's so much in this story that we could tease out of it, and yet some of the clearly obvious points we so often neglect. We thank you that the story tells us about coming alongside other people with loving care and concern, compassion that moves us. moved with compassion. Help us, Lord, to come alongside others as you have come alongside us in our time of need. May we be moved with compassion. Amen.